Thank you all for bringing us music that soothes the heart and brings us joy to sing together. You know, I get to sit up here and listen to the wave of sound as you sing together, and it's a beautiful thing. I don't know if you know how beautiful you sound when you sing together. And so thank you for giving us that opportunity, and thank you all for taking advantage of it. I had a different talk planned yesterday afternoon, and I had to kind of rework it last night. We can't ignore what happened yesterday. We're weary with it. We're sad because of it. We've got all kinds of feelings about it, and we've all got different solutions for it, and we've got no solutions for it. And it was weeks ago that I picked this talk title about courage over comfort. So the comfortable thing would be for us to pretend like nothing out of the ordinary is happening. The comfort thing would be to put our heads in the sand and say, it can never happen to me, it can never happen here, it can never happen in my grocery store, it can never happen around me. That's a comfortable thing to do. The comfortable thing to do is not to look at the news and see what's going on in the world and see that Brazil is burning, to see that there's a hurricane, a powerful hurricane, that is threatening our neighbors in the southeastern part of the United States and about to hammer the Bahamas. And we think sometimes that the comfort thing keeps us in our safe spiritual place. I don't want to know about these uncomfortable things because it disturbs my peace. We have to grow out of that. We must grow out of that. Because the courageous thing to do is to say, yes, this is happening, and how shall I hold the truth around it? Yes, this is happening here, and what truth can I affirm? Yes, we have a state of hate in the world right now. There was a program on the news this morning called The State of Hate that traced the evolution of hate movements over the last 50 years. And so we could say, la, 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 I don't want to know about them. Don't want to know. Don't want to know. Don't want to know about all those bad people. Well, A, they're there. And B, bad people is a judgment. It may be a correct discernment. But do we pray for all people, or do we pray just for the people that agree with us and are nice? The courageous thing is to say, yes, this is going on, and this is how I will hold the truth around it. Because we're the agents. I love that Molly used the phrase agents of change this morning. We're the agents of change. If we're not going to bring our integrity and our courage into the world to begin to try to balance things a little bit, who's going to do that? Who will do that? And for us to hide from it is not the courageous thing. Because I bet if you were to look at the qualities of your own integrity, they're going to have things like courage and inclusiveness and the ability to see what is right in the face of the things that are wrong. Those are going to be some of the qualities that are in you. So today's talk is about integrity, and I'm going to talk about that, but just in a different context than I originally planned. We've been talking about this braving inventory from Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead. And so braving is boundaries, reliability, accountability, being a vault, a trustworthy friend, integrity, non-judgment, and generosity. Those are the qualities that we're trying to bring to our personal lives, to our families, to our organizations, to our church, to our work. Those are the qualities. So today is about integrity. And I'm going to start out giving you the homework part of this first. And I'll repeat it at the end so you can be good students. And I can be a good teacher. Your homework is going to be to find five qualities that are part of your integrity and to identify them, first of all, to say, yes, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. And just five, because I bet you're going to find a list of a whole lot more qualities about yourself that identify your integrity, but to take those five and just see how you do with them this week. If honesty is one of them, see how you do on the honesty part. If courage is one of them, see how you do with that. If compassion is one, see how you do with that. Just so you know, your board and I and Leah, Kit, if she were here, we're meeting after the service today during the potluck to figure out what we're going to do with our new laws here in the state. So we're on it. We're on it. We're thinking about it, and I'm being real transparent with you. Chances are we're going to be meeting at some point to solicit your thoughts, because this is your church. This is your place on the hill. This is yours. It's not mine. It's not the board's. It's not the administration. It's yours. We're all in this together. Yeah? Yes. If you look in the dictionary, that's kind of good. These are like my librarian glasses, right? The quality, integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. The state of being whole and undivided. The condition of being unified, unimpaired, or sound in construction. It's from the word intact. It's also the firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values. Do you remember when they first came out with those posters that they posted in the workplace? They had like geese and, you know, people diving off a cliff and I don't know, all those posters, and they had different qualities, and these are the qualities we want to have in our workplace. Did any of you ever have all those posters in your workplace, but your workplace wasn't that? And the posters became kind of a, like, you know, right. Because what we're looking at is the congruence between our values and how we practice them. And if you've got an individual, a family, a workplace, a church, any other organization that we have in our lives in which the values are not being practiced, then there's incongruence. It's not intact. Integrity is not being followed. My friends, This is our Christ self that we're talking about. This is something that was born in us. And sometimes we have to move a whole lot of stuff out of the way so that we can see clearly how we were created. See all these 12 powers around this wall here? You can take any one of these and find qualities of your integrity within those. So that's a good place to start your 12 powers, because those are your God-given gifts. So you can start there. Maybe the quality of love produces the quality of, the power of love produces the quality of honesty and compassion. Maybe the power of power will induce in you those qualities in which you don't misuse the power that was given to you, like power over instead of power with. Integrity, according to Brené Brown, is choosing courage over comfort. It's choosing what's right over what's fun, fast, or easy. And it's practicing your values, not just professing them. In today's culture of fun, fast, and easy, that's the biggest stumbling block to integrity. It is easy to justify shortcuts based on expediency or cost. But integrity does not work that way. This is Brené Brown. I can safely say that I've never done anything meaningful in my life that wasn't hard and did not take time. Integrity is a big one. The perception of a lack of it, or even a tendency to cut corners, creates instant wariness. And I don't think that wariness is what we want to express and cause in our fellows, is it? So whatever your values are that are part of your integrity, that are part of your living up to your word, that are part of your standard that you will not compromise, is trusting yourself. Is trusting that you're not doing this alone, that God works in and through you all the time. And that if you make a mistake, you don't get to say, oh man, I screwed that up, so I guess I can't ever be that again. Ooh, told a little white lie. I guess that makes me a liar. I guess I'm not honest. Boo on me. Nope. You don't get that luxury. You get the opportunity to say, ooh, I messed that up, and I need to make it right. And then go forward being honest. That's what we do. So, man, do we ever need integrity in the world right now? Do we ever need people who will do what they say they're going to do? Who will stand up for what is right? Who will protect the disenfranchised and the weak? Who will be a steady source of confidence and trust for others? That's what we want to be. That's who we are. Now, whatever social action that might inspire you to, take your social action. But at the very least, we take those qualities of integrity in our lives and we live them the best we can, and we pray all the time for everyone, no matter what. Seven people lost their lives yesterday, and more were injured. And I was born in Midland, And we moved away from there when I was a baby. And I went back once as an adult. And nothing against Midland, Odessa, but I'm not sorry that I didn't grow up there. And I was there on a business trip, and I had to do a workshop in the morning in Midland and in the afternoon in Odessa. And the only good thing about that trip was that my rental car, this was back in the 80s, my rental car was a red Trans Am with black and white houndstooth upholstery in it. And so that's my good memory of Midland, Odessa, because driving back and forth between those two, there's that one highway between those two cities. How are people in Midland and Odessa going to drive up and down that highway anymore without wondering and worrying about what's going to happen? So can we just take all the people of Midland, Odessa, and all the people who travel there and just wrap them up in a big bubble of love and protection right now? You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to put your hands together. You can just do it. Because they're traumatized. I saw a guy on the news last night. His truck got hit twice. And the only thing that happened was part of it came through his driver's door, and a piece of metal hit his hand, not a bullet. How do you think that guy's going to feel about driving anymore? Anywhere. It's going to take a while. And he was one of the lucky ones. So let's just wrap them up in a big bubble. Just like we wrap up the people of El Paso and Dayton and Sutherland Springs and Charlottesville 2 years ago this weekend. And I'm leaving out the mosques and the synagogues and Paris. Go ahead, you could be angry, but use your anger as a righteous anger and say, I will stand for peace in this world, and I will stand for peace wherever I go. That's part of my integrity. You can decide if that's part of who you are. I will stand for peace. I'll stand for courage. I will not stand in my fear. On a lighter note, do you remember when I talked a couple of weeks ago about how we have a jar of marbles, and when we start giving things out from our marble jar, we have to make sure that we're also replenishing our marble jar, or else we will, as my son so astutely said, lose our marbles. If you weren't here for that, yes, I was very glad he paid attention. Mixed feelings about the comment, but that's okay. I was glad he was listening. Melinda Gates, the wife of Bill Gates, said, for example, I focus on integrity, on matching actions to words. The foundation, the Gates Foundation, is a values-driven organization. If I'm behaving in ways that are consistent with what we say we're all about, if I treat people equally, if I welcome open dialogue, then I'm putting marbles in the jar. But if I act counter to those values, if I resist innovative approaches because I'm worried about the risk, for example, I take a lot of marbles out. I also concentrate on accountability. As the leader of the organization, there aren't as many structures to hold me accountable. I don't have regular meetings with my boss. So I have to be very careful about being my own boss, about asking myself how I'm doing and owning up to what I'm doing wrong. Wow. Knowing that the Gateses are doing a lot of good in the world, it's good to know that those kind of values are at the top of that organization. So our spiritual work is about constantly honing our integrity, knowing, identifying and knowing clearly what our values are, and watching ourselves, checking ourselves, have trusted people around us that will help us check ourselves. So we stay in our integrity, and then that links to making good boundaries, to being trustworthy for other people, to being reliable and accountable. I identified a few qualities from myself, and I will share them with you. I did my homework already. Compassion is one of my integrity qualities. That means that if I act without compassion, I got to check myself and make it right. Humor. That's one of my qualities. Because it doesn't mean just making funny things to say. It also means laughing at myself. Take myself too seriously, I'm in big, big trouble, especially standing in this spot right up here. Serenity, which means listening to spirit and practicing principles. Honesty and courage. Those are some of the value, the qualities of my integrity that I value. And let me tell you, I fail a lot. But we have to have a starting place. You have to have a starting place. I ask you today to stand in your truth, stand in your courage, stand in your integrity. Do the thing that's hard, that's also the thing that's right. I'm asking you to do that. We had a great example from the master teacher, Jesus. Oh, it would have been very comfortable for him to say, you know what? I'm going to take my message on the outskirts of town. I'm not going to bug y'all in Jerusalem where I might get killed for what I'm saying. He went to talk to the people he needed to talk to. He wasn't afraid of people who challenged him. You know what his best technique was? I wish I did this more often. When somebody would ask him a question, he'd ask a question back to them. That's a good one. That's a very good one. So don't be surprised if you come up to me and say, well, what do you think we ought to do about such and such? And I say, what do you think we should do about such and such? If you come to me and say, you know what I think this church needs such and such. I'm going to say, when are you going to get started on that? I'm so excited. Oh, I didn't mean me. I just meant it'd be a good idea. Why don't you write that up for me, and I'll present it to the board? Crickets. That's just a little bit of humor, folks. We all do that. But you know that what we've been about and what we're still doing is calling ourselves up to a higher place. We're doing it every single day. And I want to stand proud on this hill. I want us to be a beacon of truth and light. I want us to be true to ourselves and to our Christ spirit. I want us to be true and honest and good and people with integrity with each other and with our families and with the world and every place that we go. So, homework again. Name your five, find your five qualities, just five. Just five, you can do that. You could do that sitting here right now. And then check yourself and see how you do this week. Just check yourself. And ask yourself when you're getting ready to do something, oh, is this the comfortable thing? Or is this the courageous thing? You'll know. Because you have an automatic divine gene in you that will give you the answer. Yes. So let's pray. Because of where we are and how things have been, if you need to put your hand over your heart to comfort yourself, feel free to do so. Make sure that you're breathing from someplace deeper than your collarbones. We know that the Holy Spirit, the activity of God, is active and moving among us. It's the tangible, intangible that you might feel or experience when we pray together. It's that spirit that weaves us all together. It's e pluribus unum. Together, we stand strong. So today, can we be those people who pray for those who have made their journey beyond this life to the next one? Can we hold their families in comfort? Can we see healing and wholeness for those who are injured? Can we hold courage and compassion for those who are in fear, including yourself? Can we pray knowing safety for the people in the Atlantic area right now, who are watching a mighty display of Mother Nature? Can we pray for the guidance of our world leaders that can come together and heal the lungs of the world that are burning right now? Now, beloved, take a deep breath and hold in your heart of compassion those who would do harm to others. Knowing that that same Christ spirit is in them, it may be buried, it may not be accessible to them, but we know that it is there. We must know this. Now I invite you to shift the focus of your meditation Feel the floor beneath your feet. Feel the strength from the earth coming up through your legs, into your torso, all the way up through the crown of your head, infusing you with the courage and the mighty truth of God. Revealing everything that needs to be revealed, healing everything that needs to be healed. Loving Spirit, we identify ourselves today as the agents of change that are doing our best to leave a world for our children that will work. Hand on your heart. Breathe into it. Know that in the realm of spirit, all is well. And we do our very best to cooperate with that. And so it is. Amen.